All right, so in our last couple of classes, we went through four different wars mentioned in the book of Revelation. And we saw that that the devil didn't really win any of them in the book of Revelation, didn't. And one reason why we've got this class is because there is, you know, especially the way things are going in society and the world and all of this, the pandemic, you know, there's a lot of fear and stuff. And I've had a lot of people talking about the end times and whatever. And I've just, you know, and they usually do with such, you know, oh no, and all this kind of stuff. And so I just decided to take a short little walk, stroll through the Bible, and particularly the book of Revelation, and just show some of these things. So what I want to do in this class, and maybe add a little more depending on how long this takes us, I want to go back and summarize the last four wars that we went over and just rehearse that, but make sure that you understand that, and then we'll move from there. So the first one was and Revelation 12, and it was, we entitled that War in Heaven. And let's see. Yeah, I wrote, we're going to do a summary of the wars between God and the devil, and we're going to see how the devil has fared so far. All right, Revelation 12. And verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, so What you have here is, I'm sure God didn't start this war. Satan starts a war, and he's it's a war in heaven. And at this point, he's that's where he's been living, if you will. And so he starts this war, and God doesn't join the war. God doesn't get involved. Not Father, not Son, not Holy Spirit. He sends the angels. He sends the angels to take on Satan and the fallen angels that have joined with him. And the summary of the war, the summary of the war is this. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Okay, so that's the summary of the war. Okay. There's no big deal. There's no, oh my God, it was really rough. It was really bad. It just, God's angels whipped them, you know. And, but then there's a loser point in this thing. And that is that when, once the devil is defeated, it goes on to say, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Not only did he lose, he gets kicked out of heaven. I mean, it's like, dude, if you lose, you're really going to lose. So, we think that this battle between Satan and God is a battle of who's the strongest or who's the wisest. And it's not. God, In many of these stories in the book of Revelation, God allowed even some of the things that look like they're getting out of hand, God allowed that with purpose. All right, so so the next one was Revelation 17, and this we called the war with the Babylon Confederate. And this is when Babylon gets all these people to join in for a war. That's Revelation 17. and it says, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her on the seven heads and the beast that thou sawest Let's see. I need to make sure that this is the right scriptures. Okay, yeah. It goes, I'm going to go ahead and read through this. The main part that we want to hit is in verse 14. But we need to see how strong and scary these beasts are, okay? Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other one is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Okay, so what we have here is a scary picture unless you read the story. It's not scary. It's a gathering of all these kings and all of the beast and all of this stuff, and they're scary. We're gonna do bad things and we're gonna really cause some havoc here. And then you get down to the very next verse after reading all of that we focus on instead of what really is going on. Get down to verse 14 and it says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. That's it. That's the end of that war. It's that simple. You say, well, how simple is that? One Lamb beats all the monsters joined together. Is that what it says? It's got like, you know, verse 7 all the way through 13, even ends on 13. That's an unlucky number, you know. All of that stuff. And then you got one little sentence, these shall make war with the Lamb. Okay, and we go, oh no. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Okay. This book of Revelation here, all this. All these are all of the big uprisings and the big bad wolves that are out there trying to do stuff, and they're being defeated left and right. All right, so Revelation 19, and this is the Battle of Armageddon, if I'm not mistaken, or it'll get into it. Okay, let's see. All right, I think that I need to move up here and just grab, if I could just find it now. There it is. All right, I'm just moving some scriptures down here to the summary. All right, so this is Revelation 19, and 19, okay. So this one's called War on Earth. So you have War on Heaven, you have the war, this is all in Revelation, the war of the Babylon Confederate, and now this is War on Earth, verse 11, Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had name written that no man knew but he himself, which is interesting, but so I do too, by the way. I have a name that nobody knows but myself. It's stupid. Oh, sorry. Many know that one. His eyes were flaming, let's say, no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon his white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we talked about that. That's not really very good battle gear unless you know about the leader. If you know about the leader, you kind of go, okay, white linen's a good outfit for war. And his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains and flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free, bond, and both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls of the air filled with flesh. So Jesus is, in this one, this battle, Jesus is ready. He's battle ready. His armies follow him. His weapon of choice, a two-edged sword that proceeds out of his mouth. So we are going to see major wrath poured out in this war. Or are we? See. And then, and that was based on verse 16 and verse 17 and 18. There's going to be a massive slaughter. Because the angels and everybody's saying, oh, come on, how's this? This is the Battle of Armageddon, right? Is this, I'm pretty sure that is what that is. Anyway, the Battle of Armageddon, the one that everybody's afraid of, the one that we're all, you know, thinking, Armageddon. Is this Armageddon? Are we on the verge of Armageddon? All this stuff that we're talking about, that basically, even if it is two armies coming together, the armies don't even clash. You know what I'm saying? They don't even clash. It just says, what is it, verse 20. Well, let me read the verse 19 up to it. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. I probably said this last time, but it just, the picture I get is maybe two guys walk over and they go, follow us. We have a place for you. It's called the Lake of Fire. That's it. That's the end of the war. But then out of Jesus's mouth, bingo, he wipes out everybody else. Okay, and then chapter 20, verse 1 through 3 is also part of this. It's a continuation. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon. Okay, so whoever it was, they just, the beast was taken. The beast was taken. Okay, now you have an angel. You got all these big armies. You know, I mean, I can see the army of God going, well, this is anticlimactic. This is the Battle of Armageddon. I mean, can you see that? Because they did nothing. They didn't have to do anything. We go, Armageddon, no! You know, okay, just let Jesus go and take care of that. And then that angel comes down having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Okay? All right. So who did that to the great red dragon? An angel. One angel. Okay, we're going, oh no, there's beasts everywhere. There's all this stuff going on. You know, one angel, go get Satan. Go get the dragon. Go get the great red dragon. And let's just put him away for 1,000 years. Come on. Some of y'all know that you've had fears of, you know, you need to quit watching all those movies they make, those Christian movies, because they have very little of the Word of God in them. Okay. And then verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Praise God. Amen. That's probably one of the biggest things, you know what I mean? You know, it's just shut him up, Lord. Just shut that guy up. He just talks way too much. People are always coming up to me and saying, Randy or Pastor, the devil said to me that I'm not saved. I'm going, did you ask Jesus in your heart? Yes, you're saved. Okay. The devil's a liar. Don't listen to liars. All right, so, and cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. All right. So, again, it's just one angel, but it's not that. It's one angel and he's holding a chain with a key. I mean, you know, if you're really that bad, run. You know, if you're the great red dragon, there's a guy coming with a chain and a key. Run! You know, he stands there like a docile dog, you know. Follow me. Bad boy. All right. And then finally, we went over what happens after the millennium. And we noted that the book of Revelation had 3 verses on the millennium, and none of it talked about how wonderful it was going to be. I mean, Jesus, yes, Jesus will be there. He'll be on a throne on the earth instead of in heaven, you know, which and we're all going, oh man, 1,000 years with Jesus reigning on the earth. This is going to be great, you know, and I won't even get into who we found out was there, at least just straight up reading the scripture. But Jesus is on the throne, and it mentions that, but it doesn't talk about all the great things that we think the Bible talks about the millennium. It uses 3 verses, and then it goes right in to after the 1,000 years. The 1,000-year reign with Christ on the earth gets 3 verses. And then you got Revelation 20, starting at verse 7 then. Is it 3 or 6 verses? I can't remember. 3. Okay. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, okay, so, you know, always check your ingredients because they might expire. Including your millennium might expire. and expired. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Okay. Who did that? Well, it had to be the beast and the false prophet. No, they're locked up in the lake of fire. You know what I mean? Or the bottomless pit, whichever one. I think it's lake of fire. You know, God did. God did it. Loosed him out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Okay, so y'all probably are too young to know Hal Lindsey. Anybody know Hal Lindsey? But he taught, he was a big teacher on end time stuff. And not just him, but all these people, particularly back in the 60s. And they would talk about Gog and Magog, and they would say, okay, it's Gog and it's Magog, okay? And that what that is that's up here. See, Israel's right here, and Gog and Magog are the kingdoms of the north, and they're Russia and China. Okay. All right. Well, I dispute that. Say, on what grounds? On the very verse that they're using to say that. Let's just read what it says, okay? Verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Okay? This is the devil going out to deceive the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Is that what it says? It didn't say and Gog and Magog. It says the four quarters of the earth are, and to deceive the nations, comma, Gog and Magog. Okay, grammatically, Mallory, is this correct from what I'm saying? Would this be a correct thing? Or would you say, and also Gog and Magog, China and Russia? But you see, he's gone out to deceive the nations. All the nations. All right? And then to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea, which noted is as if he's Abraham. This is the devil. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. All right, so let's go over what just happened here. God lets the devil loose. Okay, there's not going to be a war unless God lets the devil loose. All right. Satan takes much time to deceive and gather an army, okay? So he's being meticulous. He's, you know, do you remember in the book of Job when it says, God says to Satan, where have you been? He says, well, I've been walking up and down the earth, you know. I read another scripture today in the New Testament, and I can't remember where it was, but it's easy to look up, walk. Where it says that he was walking again. I'm still walking. You know, I don't know. I mean, most people have him having some kind of powers where he can get along, you know, some sort of, it's like not a Batmobile necessarily, but a Satanmobile or something, you know. No, he walks. And that's why he's so healthy. So he takes much time to deceive and gather the army. God doesn't. God, in this case, remember the last war, Armageddon? He did, but he didn't use them. So this time God doesn't even gather an army. He just leaves them in their homes, leaves them in the holy city, leaves them, you know. He doesn't even warn them or worry them. The enemy uses strategic military moves to take the high ground for battle. Do you see that? He's so smart. No, it won't make any difference. It won't make any difference. He thinks it'll make a difference. It won't make any difference. Well, that's the key right there. That's the key. Then that was my next sentence right here was, God already has the higher ground. That's the high ground, fire from heaven, the higher ground. The enemy has superior numbers. My next thought is God is never moved by how many the enemy has. If you would believe that, you would have a lot more peace. If you would believe that God never worries about superior numbers. He never did. In fact, he not only doesn't worry about it, like in Gideon, he's just chopping them down to 300 and they've got, thousands of people and he still defeats them because God knows what he's doing. And if our trust is in the Lord, then we would see so many of these things. We'd just notice and go, oh, he's even got higher ground. The battle never happens. The battle never happens. Now, this is the last big battle here. I know you thought Armageddon was the last big battle. And I won't go into who these people are that are deceiving these nations. You're not going to want to hear that one. But the battle never happens. And then in one last sentence on that, and one at last act on behalf of God's heart, God kindly lets Satan join his friends in the lake of fire. All right. I don't know about y'all. I don't know. But as I've been reading through, we've got a lot more of, we're still going to be going for a while. Just the information I've had is enough to make me go, you know what? I can rest in the Lord. I don't have to be worried. All the stuff that I was worried about didn't really happen that way anyway. And nobody told me. I don't know why nobody told me. Well, the Bible told you. You could read it. You just read it and go, and see it over and over and over. Now, there are some situations, and we will deal with some of those that might worry you, but it doesn't really have anything to do with monsters. So, I did it, 30 minutes. So that's it, because I'm trying to keep this short. And I'm trying to keep you healthy spiritually, spirit, soul, and body, and in tune with the Word of God, and in tune with the living God and the Lamb that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we don't have to fight. We don't have to fight. The Lamb has already defeated it all anyway. It's just manifesting. That's all it is. It's like the Word of God going out and proving that the enemy is defeated. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I ask you to continue to bless these classes and these times together, but not bless them, Lord, in the sense of just being a good class, but that we can see that even the Word of God is telling us that we're so filled with fables of what's going to happen in the end time and fables with how powerful the devil is and all this stuff that we're just scared. And Father, what we need to see is your Son, and what we need to understand is the Lamb is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that even if we don't understand how that all works out, we can see that in the battles that we've been going through, there was no battle. unless it was the angels that defeated the fallen angels. There was no battle. So, Father, I just pray that you'll quicken our hearts and the faith in our heart to hold on to your Son and to love him and to make love in our heart toward him higher than fear of the devil. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.